Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Yeah? Alive and well? Oh, yeah. You know I like it when you talk back to me, so don't feel ashamed. Just like, yeah, Daniel, I'm here. I'm all in. I love Jacob's heart. You know, you just break a string off. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just keep rolling. I love that, man. I love that. Worship's not about the guitar. It's about the heart, and that's what we're here for, is the heart of Christ and just to speak to our hearts. And so if you're joining us online, maybe you're in the room and you're joining us and you haven't been a part of this series, we're in a series called Follow Me, and we're looking at the first six chapters of the book of Acts. And so today we are finishing up Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 was just too good, so we have to spend 2 weeks in it, okay? We were at Acts 1, 2, and 3, and 4 last week. This is the early church. Jesus has followed up, grabbed up all his disciples. Now he's commissioned them out, saying, you're the leaders now. I'm going to work through you, through the local church, through my disciples. And they start doing many miraculous signs and wonders, and they're praying, they're gathering daily, all of these different things. And here in Acts chapter 4, last week, we saw that they were praying bold prayers, that they were bold Christians. They were boldly standing out for what God's word says. And then the second half, we really get to see something incredible. It's like we get to, I love scripture because it's like the early church is meeting and we get to like peek into the window. You know, like I feel like we're looking in the window watching like how they conducted small group, how they conducted church. We're standing in the back of the room as like bystanders going, oh, that's awesome. Yes, that's so good. Oh, we need to do that too. And so as we look at this today, the title of my message is The Code, The Code, because it's like this early church had this code about them. It's the way they acted. It's the way they did church. It was like this I love the word code because if you think about like it could be the military, it could be a workplace, it could be all these different places, but those places, they usually have a code. And by code, I'm meaning this like unwritten rule of how people behave. The code could be written, it could be clear, but it could be unwritten. It's just how people behave. It's how they act in a certain group or a particular area. I don't know about you, but I believe there's some unwritten rules all throughout our world and society, even here in the Low Country, right? There's just some particular rules. Like here in the South, if you're from the North, maybe a little different. When I go to Honduras, this is completely different. But if you're at the red light and the person in front of you doesn't move, you need to give them like 5 seconds, right, before you honk the horn. Because if you honk the horn before 5 seconds, that's like fighting words, right? And it's like, what's wrong with you? Now I'm sitting here for 30 seconds, right? Now I'm sitting here for 2 minutes because you just honked at me. But if you go to Honduras, a honk is like a hello. It's like, beep, beep, how you doing? Beep, beep, how, you know, it's like honking everywhere. But here, it's like, you honk? Ooh, it's on. Like, it's fighting words right there, yelling out the window. Maybe there's an unwritten rule. Have you ever been to the movie theaters? I know it's kind of crazy right now. It's like movie theaters. I haven't been in 3 years. But the movie theaters, you sit down, and there's a whole row open. It is the unwritten rule that what? If somebody walks in on that aisle, they need to leave it. At least a seat, maybe two, right? Like, just leave some space. Don't come like stranger, like we're right there, and I'm just going to sit next to you. Like, we're just friends now, and I don't know which side, which handle to use. Unwritten rules, right? Like, men, we have unwritten rules in the restroom, right? Same concept. Space it out, right? Like, let's not stand too close, right? Like, these unwritten rules. This is the code that may happen. And the early church, what we get to look at today is they had a code. And it wasn't necessarily written out for them. It wasn't like Jesus was like, okay, here's your code. Here's how you behave. It was the fact that they followed Jesus closely and they watched how he behaved. They watched how he acted. And they had this particular way that they would live life. And today, that's what we get to look into. We see how they interacted with each other as a Christian community. And so many times in church, we talk about how to love people who are outside the church. We talk about going into our community. which rightly we should, the early church should. But today we really get to look at how they treated each other. Like once you were a part of the church, once you were in this circle, once you were in the family of God, this is how they interacted with each other. And it's pretty incredible. And so Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 32 and read down a little bit. We're going to stay in Acts chapter 4. I got a couple of supporting verses in Acts chapter 20, but mainly we're going to sit here that we're going to look at. Okay, everybody doing okay? Yes, sir. Yeah. So with me, Acts chapter 4, we're going to read verse 32. It says, all the believers, I love that. He's talking about the believers, the ones who have decided to follow Jesus. They've placed their faith in him. Now they're into the community of God. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Wow, right? Like, what an incredible picture of community. I mean, some of this stuff, can I be honest with you? We're family here. When I read this, almost every time I read it, I'm like, oh. Like, man, that is some bold living. That is an incredible way to live. It's a beautiful picture of community. I want to be a part of that community. I want to be a part of a community that lives this particular way. And so today, I want to point out three codes, if you will, that we can pull from Acts chapter 4. Three big themes that kind of hinge on this particular chapter. And the first one starts here in verse 32. It says, all the believers were united in heart and in mind. I love this. And the first one is unity. And if we were to put that for you and I, it says that I am united with my Christian family. I am united. We talked a lot about this last week of how we are called into the family of God. And now you are my brother. You are my sister in Christ. Corinthians tells us that I am a new creation in Christ. And we have entered into this family. And I believe that we can't talk about unity enough. Because in this day and age, there are so many opportunities for us to go, that's your side, that's my side. But in the family of God, we come under the name of Jesus. In the family of God, we are into this family. And this is something I'm extremely passionate about. This is something that I believe actually is attached to my calling as a pastor, attached to my calling in the Low Country. As soon as we got here, we started calling other churches and going, hey, we're here in the area. Is there anything we can do for you? Is there anything that we can walk together on? We are stronger together. Sometimes when I look at the way we function today, I think Apostle Paul walk in and go, what are you doing? Like, we're on the same team, right? Like, what's happening here? And we see these pictures, and sometimes we can have a lens for other ministries or other churches, and sometimes people will even ask me, and they'll say, hey, well, I've seen this, or I've seen this 30-second YouTube clip, and all these things. Tell me about this ministry. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to decide my views on a ministry that's all the way across the country from a 30-second YouTube clip, right? Like my brothers and sisters in Christ who believe in Jesus, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm not going to cross that line unless I'm involved and walking with them into that. And that's something I believe that God's called us to walk in unity. And I had a professor in seminary. This is probably, I mean, in this particular class, it was church evangelism. It was one of the most powerful illustrations that he used. And he was talking about this idea, talking about this concept. And he said, you know, the church is described as the bride of Christ, and that we are his bride. And on the wedding day, as you know, when the bride comes down the aisle, you want to look at the groom, and because you just see the emotion on his face and the excitement of, yes, that is my bride. She's walking down the aisle. And this, he sees that. And for you and I, that's the way that Christ sees us. And he compared it. He says, you know, if that's how I see my wife. And if somebody has something against my wife and they want to talk about my wife, number one, it better be true, right? And even then, you're on shaky ground, right? If you're coming to me about my wife and you don't want to talk bad or talk or tear down, it better, like, you better check your facts, right? And even then, like, we need to come with this crazy humility. But God loves his church. He loves his church so much that he died for his church. He sacrificed himself for his church. And that's what we come under. As we walk together, I'm going, no. I'm not going to crash or divide. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fight for unity. I'm going to take the extra step to see if we can mend this. I'm going to take the extra step, like in Matthew 18, and how can we resolve this conflict? Because we're family, and family is worth the fight. The family is worth the struggle. The family is worth walking with people who are broken, who still fall into sin, who need Jesus, who need the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, but we need to fight for that unity. We need to walk into that. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He was a theologian a couple hundred years ago, but he says, "The church is not perfect, but woe to the man who finds pleasure in pointing out her imperfections. Christ loved his church, and let us do the same." I love that quote. Now, I'm not saying we do need to hold people accountable to God's word. We do need to have those conversations in love. But this quote, it says, the man who finds pleasure, the man who is going, "Whoo, it's my job, right? Like, I'm here for it. Like, this is exciting. Like, I cannot wait. I'm here. I'm coming with the hammer. I'm like all of these things." But God is saying we need to fight for unity. We need to say, "I'm here for you. I am walking with you. How can we walk together?" In the early church, they were united with one heart and with one mind. And I believe that spoke to the community, where the community could see them living and going, "Wow, you see how they interact with each other? You see how they resolve that? You see how they were working together?" And so much of the Apostle Paul's writings throughout the New Testament, he was going back to this call for them to be united in Christ, to walk with them together. And I love this illustration. I don't have a musical bone in my body. If you want me to lead worship, it would be terrible, and you would all leave, right? That's why we have Jacob and Christy and our worship team and all these guys who can jump in and play a part. And sometimes we can visualize that when I come into the family of God, it's like I become almost this robot, where I follow God and I fall into this uniformity of where everybody thinks the same, acts the same, everybody has to dress the same, everybody has to look the same. You know, it's like boom, 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 everything falls into this like uniform, perfect little picture. And when it doesn't fit like that, it's like, "Oh, this is not right." But the picture that I love is when you walk in and you listen to an orchestra. Because every instrument is different, right? Like the cello sounds way different than the violin. And the violin sounds way different than the percussion in the back. And the flute, right? My wife played oboe in high school. Don't tell her I told you. But oboe, I don't even know what it is. But she's playing the oboe and all of these things. And these instruments that we play, and they all sound incredibly different. But when that person, I don't even know his name, stands up front, and I should have looked it up, I would have sounded smart. Takes his thing, and he, right? And all of a sudden, he's bringing everybody together, and then the flute kicks in, and then the drums kick in, and then this person kicks in, and the cello comes in, and it comes in, and when they play together, it's this beautiful symphony. It's these melodies that are coming together, and if they were all cellos, we would probably be bored. If it was all flutes, we'd be like, "Oh, this is too high. I can't even listen to this," right? But it's because they were all different. They had different callings. They had different gifts. They have different skill sets, but they came under one name. They came under the one who is directing us, going, "Okay, I'm going to give Austin this gift. I'm going to give Christy this gift. I'm going to give Daniel this gift. I'm going to give you this gift. I'm going to give Brad this gift." And all of a sudden, now when our gifts come together and we fall under the unity, fall under the name of Jesus, we all have one mission, and it is to glorify his name and to use our gifts to glorify his name. And if we allow Jesus to be the one that's directing us, going, "Okay, you play here, your first chair, your second chair," you know, like he's playing. Placing everybody in the right seats and the right places. And being a part of this church plant, one of the things that I believe God has taught me the most is that God brings the right people at the right time. It blows my mind every single time, every single season. It's like it's like somebody comes into my life and then I walk into this season and it's like I didn't even know I needed them, but God did. And they came into the season and now we're walking together in this. And it becomes this beautiful picture going, okay, God, you are directing this. You are guiding this. You are bringing us together under the name of Jesus. And how beautiful is that, the beautiful picture that we see. Now, we're going to go to this second code here, okay? That was just the first code. This is the second code right here he goes into. And this one stuck out to me the most. I couldn't get off this verse. I had to go back and read this over and over. I had to dwell on this a little bit. But he says this. It says, here in the second part of verse 32, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They felt that what they were like, everything that I own is not mine. What a mindset, right? What a picture of living in godly community. And the second one I want to get here is generosity. That I am a steward of what God has given me. And that's such a mental shift because a lot of what we're taught is this is mine. Like, I worked hard for this. I built this. This is mine. Like, I'm holding on to it. But when we see this Christian community, they come to the table and they go, you know, everything that I have has been given to me by God. That this is not mine, that God has given it to me. I am a manager, right? Like, I am a steward of what God has given me. And there's parables even in the New Testament that show us how can we be faithful with what God has given us. And I believe it becomes a powerful statement when you and I realize, like, okay, this is not mine. Like, I am a steward. God, how do you want me to manage this? And, of course, the big one for us, the big one I believe in the Western church world for us is money, right? Like, that is the thing that is hardest for us to let go of. And we've seen studies and shown from the Western church that money is the thing we usually hold tight to. It's the thing that's like, ooh, you better not preach on money. Everybody's going to turn ears off, right? Like, oh, that's it. That man's crazy. All these things, right? But we have to preach what the Word of God says. And God, he doesn't say, I want you to go in and give it all away. In fact, I want you to be faithful with what you do have. I want you to be a steward of what you do have. And he gives us a plan in which to walk through that. And that's not the point of today, but we have this class called Financial Peace that helps guide and direct and bring those things, because I believe a powerful thing for you and I, not only for our money, because this kind of supersedes just money, but I'm talking about time, I'm talking about resources, all of God, this house that I own, this is yours. God, this car that I have, this is yours. God, this day that I have is yours. God, my child, Lucas, he is yours. Maddox, he is yours, God. Ben, he is yours. Like, everything that I have, you have given me. And it is a blessing. And I am thankful for it, God. But it is yours. They are yours. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to guide me? And they felt like it was not their own. And then later, the Apostle Paul says this in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 33 through 35. It says, I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's like Jesus comes and he flips the script on us, right? He changes it and going, yes, it does feel good in the moment to receive. And sometimes we do just need to receive to be rejuvenated, right? But he's saying that also there is this principle that the Bible gives us that if you truly want to experience this blessing come over you, it's when we give. It's when we say, you know what? This is not mine, but I'm here to serve. I want to help provide for your needs. I want to help walk with you and allow us to come together as the family of God. And what a beautiful picture. I love the Apostle Paul because he was a church planner. So I love studying the Apostle Paul. He was also a tent maker. So he would go and work in and build these tents, and he would sell them. And so many times in Scripture, he would go back to other churches and going, hey, I didn't burden you of saying you need to pay me. And in fact, I've worked hard for my own wages to free you up to do ministry, to free you up to do these different things. And so the Apostle Paul was saying, I know what it means to work hard to not only provide for yourself, but to also have enough room, to have enough margin to go, you know what, God, I don't want to just receive, but I want to be able to give. I want to be able to bless, God. I want to be able to speak into people's lives of going, hey, you need this. I am here for you. And if we look at the different people in our houses, the financial piece usually directs us and says there's usually a spender in the household, and then there's usually a saver, right? The ones that kind of pinch the money. Sometimes you have both on either side. My wife is incredibly smart, incredibly gifted. She checks every dot, every I, all of those things. I can be the spender in the house, okay? I'm like, ooh, that's awesome. We need that, right? Like, yes, here we go. Let's move forward. Let's upgrade this, right? Come on, like all these different things, right? But I believe there's a powerful principle for you and I to realize it is better to give than to receive. And we can't give what we don't have, right? And I believe that one of the most powerful things, not only for our time, but also our resources, is margin in our lives. Is margin to say, you know what, I can breathe a little bit in my finances, I can breathe a little bit in my time. If every day is booked all the way to the T from the morning till night, right? Like I don't have room for the Holy Spirit to go, hey, I want you to do this today. I want you to spend some time with this person. I want you to take this person out to coffee. I want you to get to know them. I want you to walk over to your neighbor's house. I want you, whatever it may be, for us to have that margin to say, God, this day is your day. God, my finances are yours. My kids are yours. God, my work is yours. How do you want me to lead? How do you want me to interact? How do you want me to guide in this truth and in this principle? And we see this picture because here becomes the fruit of this picture in Acts 4:34. This is powerful. We may say, hey, I want an Acts 4:34 world. I want an Acts 4:34 low country. I want an Acts 4:34 church. I want an Acts, this beautiful picture. It says there were no needy people among them. What a bold and declarative statement, right? To go, there was no one in their community in need. Now, I believe there's a big difference between needs and wants, right? Like, there's a big difference. But this here, it says there were no needy people. And I thought, wow, my mind is blown right now of the generosity of the early church, that they stuck together. They were a family together going, hey, we're in this thing. We're walking together in what Christ has for us, and I'm willing to. And so that one, the first one is unity. The second is generosity. And here is the last one. And we'll get ready to close. You guys still all right? And the last one here is sacrifice. We see this picture of the early church, of people sacrificing for each other. I am open and ready to help fill the needs of those around me. We see there was this underlying current, this code almost, where the apostles and the early church got together and they said, you know what? All of this stuff I own is not mine. And in fact, I love this quick little anecdote in verse 36, this example they give of this man named Barnabas. And Barnabas, we see later down the road, becomes this person of peace for the Apostle Paul. And he was from the tribe of Levi. So actually, some scholars even believe that Barnabas would have grown up with Paul, that they were around the same age, and they went to the same school under the order of Gamaliel. And so they may have even known each other. And so when Barnabas heard that Apostle Paul got saved, of course, he was a little timid because he was killing Christians, right? He was going out and having them killed and all those things. And then Barnabas was like, God, are you sure? I know this. I know because I used to be one. Like I used to know how they think and how they act and how much they hate these Christians and us. And God, are you sure you want me to go talk to the Apostle Paul? And so this man, Barnabas, becomes this great picture of what God can do in a person's life. And now he is saying that, you know what? I have this extra. I have this margin, right? He had this margin. I had this extra, God, and I just feel like I need to sell this land, and I know there's some people in here, so I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to give it to you, God, and we're going to meet the needs that are in front of me. And he was willing to sacrifice some of his martyrdom. He was willing to sacrifice for the love of his brothers and sisters in Christ. And I believe the way we were created, that sacrifice is one of the loudest communicators to the human heart. If we see someone who we dearly love and they sacrifice something for us, our ears perk up. It's like we sit up. If we imagine if you went into work and you overheard your coworker, right, who says something, oh, this is going on in my life and I'm about $100 and I'm just not going to make rent. And you walk in one day and go, hey, here, God laid this on my heart to serve you, to help you in this. And all of a sudden they're like, what? Like, that's a brand new, that's two new pair, depending on where you shop, that's two new pair of shoes right there. Like, what are you doing? That's $100 right there. Like, you just did that for me? You sacrificed for me. And all of a sudden, they see the sacrifice that was willing to be laid on the altar of saying, I love you. That my love for you is more powerful than maybe the things that I'm holding on to. My love for you, my hope, my prayer for God to work through me is stronger. The desire in me to walk in unity, to walk in generosity is stronger than the desire that the world can almost, if we're honest, right, it almost feels like this lullaby that's singing in our ear, that is calling and kind of luring us into what maybe we call the American dream. And God is saying, those things can be good. And I hope you hear me in this. I'm not saying let's all like just, live on the street and everything is gone. No, God's called us to steward what we have, right? To say, you know what, I'm willing, God, if you lay it on my heart, I'm going to walk in this unity, I'm going to walk in this generosity, I'm willing, God, to sacrifice maybe even some of the extra that I want to help those get to their needs, to raise their needs level up. And I believe that as the early church, what a powerful picture that you and I have together. What a beautiful picture that we get to walk together in this, and we can see God continue to move. And I believe that the people who were outside of the early church and they were peeking in the windows and they were hearing stories of going, oh, that happened at church on Sunday? That happened at small group? That happened when you walk with them? That is incredible. Why? Why would you do that? Why would y'all act like that? And we're like, oh, because Jesus, he left a perfect place in heaven where beings were literally created to fly around him and to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, to worship him. That the streets are clear gold, right? Like, we can't even fathom that. That the gates are incredible. The gates are beautiful. That's just to enter into heaven. And Jesus says, I love Brad so much that I'm going to leave that. I'm going to humble myself and become a baby, vulnerable, broken human body. And then I'm going to give my life so that he can have this. He can have the relationship with me. He can have the relationship with God. Jesus sacrificed his life for you and I. And he says, follow me. This world is not your home, right? Like, this is that we are a temporary resident. We are just passing through, right? And the hope of glory is Jesus that we get to stand before one day. He is saying, that is our focus. That is our dream. That is our hope. And when we live in community, we become this sweet aroma to a broken world who is divided, who are hating each other, all of these things. And they're going, I'm tired of this. I want that. I'm tired of all of that, of everything that's coming out of their mouth and how, hey, you do you, I'm going to do me, right? Like, I'm tired of that. What I want is we are in this thing together. I am sacrificing for you. I am living generously. We walk unified under the name of Jesus. I need that in my life. And I would even argue that we are created for it. We truly experience what God created us for when we walk in his word and we walk in his truth. And so my question for us today is, maybe you just want to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team back on, and we're going to sing a beautiful song called A Cornerstone together as we close service. But I just want to challenge you as we pray about these three areas. We pray about unity, generosity, or sacrifice. Maybe we just pray a prayer and say, hey, God, is there one of these areas that you feel like I need to lean into a little bit more? God, is there one of these areas, these behaviors, these mindsets, God, that it is? And if you're struggling with one, tell God. Say, God, I'm struggling with this one. Like, this one is hard for me to grasp right now. This one is hard for me to walk through. God, how can we do this? How can I don't even know where to start, God, right? Like, we just have these conversations, and that's why we're in community, to walk together, to guide each other. Jesus says, follow me. It's this active participation. It's this continual growth that God is showing us and guiding us. And so my prayer is, maybe there's something that we're holding on to, and the Holy Spirit is like, is putting it on your mind, putting it on your heart right now, and you just feel like, no, not that God. No, not, right? Like, you just feel that, like, no, not that God, not that, right? And I just want you to have an opportunity this morning for freedom. Because Jesus comes, he comes for salvation. If that was enough, that would be incredible. But he wants us to live free in all areas of our life. And going, God, okay, today, maybe for the first time, I'm going to trust you with this part of my heart, with this area of my life, with this moment. And so I would just encourage you to trust God in this moment. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you. We are so, so thankful for your word. So thankful, God, that the Holy Spirit still guides, still directs each and every week, God. I pray that you would continue just to speak to our lives. I pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to what you would want for us, God. Maybe that one of these areas, of maybe it's unity, maybe it's generosity, maybe it's sacrifice, God. I pray that you just speak to our hearts. I pray that you lead us. I pray that it's not our own maybe personal guilt that's driving us, but it's the love that is for our brothers and sisters. It is love for you, God. Because now we know that it is healthy. Now we know that it is from you. God, I just pray for your wisdom. I pray for your direction. I pray for your guidance in all that we do, God. I pray if there's anybody in this room, maybe listening online, who does not know you, I pray that they would give their life to you, Jesus. I pray that we would surrender it all to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.